Well, Job was a man like you and I in terms of trying to get to know the Lord and put his faith in him. And his faith grew through times of great suffering and even anger in his own life. So thinking about our emotions and how hard it is to put those before God, being anxious sometimes, and often we're the most anxious when we don't feel at peace with God. So if there's an unsettled feeling of uncertainty in your life, know the Lord would want to have you feel Him grab a hold of you and just give you encouragement and strength. And then last week talking about anger that we often express, to be angry and don't sin, and make sure our anger draws people to us as opposed to pushes them away from us. Well, Job had the experience of all those things toward his friends, toward his family, but also toward the Lord. And if somebody asks you, you know, how's your relationship with God going and how's that prayer life going for you? And you responded, God does not answer, merely looks at me, turns on me ruthlessly, attacks me, drives me before the wind, throws me in the storm, brings me down to death. Only evil came. You'd say, wow, you know, that's a very rough thing. But I think at times in our lives, as we look at anger and how we respond to life's difficulties, sometimes our anger is not just going to go toward ourselves or toward other people. Occasionally, it's going to go to God because He's in our inner circle. Remember, one of the principles last week was we're always most angry at those who are closest to us. So if you've never been angry with the Lord, maybe you don't know yourself very well, or maybe you haven't been able to be open to Him with some of the thoughts and feelings that you really do have. And so later in different parts of Job, Job says this, the arrows of the Almighty are in me, the terrors of God against me. I will complain in the bitterness of my soul. That's Job 6:4 and Job 7:11. And Job is devastated by the losses in his life. And through 40 painful chapters, he does express great grief. And sometimes he gets angry at God. And often that will happen in our relationship with the Lord. Jeremiah, for example, as a follower of the Lord, said, Lord, you deceived me and I was deceived and I was overwhelmed by you. That's not something the Bible encourages, but it is something the Bible describes, because it's probably something that you will have as an emotion in your walk with God. Okay, and the goal is, how can you meet God in your anger and draw closer to Him as opposed to pushing Him away? The old phrase, how can you get better with God as opposed to getting bitter towards God? And often you might say, well, I've never been angry at God. That's out of bounds. I would never even think of it. You know, every time you and I sin, that is an expression of anger toward the Lord Himself. Because at that point we're saying, no, you're not going to run my life. I'm going to run my life. And it's an act of rebellion against God. And so you and I have expressed that anger toward God at one time or another. We see that in the scriptures, in the hearts of different people. Saul of Tarsus, who became the Apostle Paul, was furious with Jesus and angry at Jesus' followers. And when he was that way, Jesus stopped him and said, hey, let me introduce myself to you. And Paul had his life changed. God was not put off by his anger. So you might know some people who are agnostic, have a lot of uncertainty about the Lord, or maybe even atheists. And if you mention God or something about church or Bible, I mean, the fury is there. You know, God's not saying, you know, that really intimidates me. Somebody say, when you're angry at the Lord, you know, he's probably the only one who can handle our anger very well. He says, I'd like to meet you right where you're most miffed. And he'll put his finger on it and introduce himself to us. King David at times was angry in the Psalms. It was an anger of lament, or, Lord, would you help me out? Lord, are you coming? And, Lord, you're not asleep, are you? Kind of respectful anger. And David was able to praise him also through his experiences. Moses, of course, he got angry with the Lord. Peter straightened out Jesus a time or two. So that was a problem. I am not comfortable with the truth that sometimes we get angry with God, but I think it is the truth, and I think we're supposed to meet the Lord there. So we're going to look at some things in the Bible that might help us with that. If you'd like an academic approach to being angry with God because of the suffering in the world, and I recommend a couple books that might help, because these things are important, and lost people, you know, sometimes they're looking for an answer, but sometimes they're looking for an excuse for their own unbelief. But some books that are helpful that might be of a comforting nature and a good academic answer to those who have problems with anger toward God would be The Problem of Pain by C.S. Lewis. Very well done. Johnny Erickson Tada, who spent 3/4 of her life in a wheelchair and having paralysis, also recently contracted cancer, so has another big trial to go through. Her book, When God Weeps, is a strong book, both from the mind and the heart, of how to understand suffering and go through it well. Another book, Where is God When It Hurts, by Philip Yancey and Dr. Paul Brand. Dr. Brand is a specialist in different aspects of physiology, and he sees pain as a warning sign. So when you go through pain physically, of course, you know, I better pay attention. If you feel pain emotionally, God's saying, I want you to pay attention to this. And I want you to walk toward this and watch me help you in it. And so those books are helpful. The Psalms are really helpful. And whatever explanation is given in the best Christian books and from the best Christian thinkers, Ravi Zacharias and Josh McDowell and others, you know, I do want to say this, though. The best explanations given by the best believers, when it really comes down to it, are not sufficient to deal with people's anger towards God. They really aren't. Because when people are in pain and they're angry, they don't want an explanation. They want help from God. And they want help from God's people. So that's what the Lord comes through with time after time in the Bible. He's big on help. He's big on salvation. He's big on rescue. He is not intent on detailed explanations as to why we go through what we go through, or your friend is going through what they are going through. So to latch on to his help will be of great encouragement. I'm going to give some examples of being angry with God that turn to sin. It's a dangerous ground. It turned to sin, and it was bad. And I'll give some examples in the Bible where anger drew people towards God. And that's what we want to see happen in our lives and in the lives of people we care about. The first example, real early in the Bible, Cain and Abel. They get angry. Well, Cain gets angry, and sin overwhelms him. Ironically, it was almost in a worship setting. Abel comes to give God an offering. Just, this is for you, God. That's a good perspective on offerings, by the way. This is for you, and this is from my heart. And God said that my favor is with you. You know, that's an expression that you really know me. And Cain comes. He says, and here's my offering. I worked hard for this. I did a lot of work for this, God, and I hope you appreciate this. God said, you know, Cain, that is not an acceptable heart of worship. And Cain got angry. And God said to Cain, why are you angry? Sin is crouching at your door. It desires to master you, but you really better master it. So Cain didn't even sin yet, even in his anger. But he was still angry, and we all know what he did. Cain goes and he kills Abel. because something is not right between Cain and the Lord. So he kills his brother. And sometimes our sin nature, when we fight against God, we will end up having a chip on our shoulder, not only toward the Lord, but toward other people. You can just count the chips on your shoulder, and you know the things that God is wants to talk to you about those things. So that's an example, one example of anger turning into sin that we are all susceptible to. Another example is the Israelites in Numbers chapter 14. They simply got tired of following the Lord. Did you ever do that? You're tired of following the Lord, things aren't working out like you thought. You don't like the food, you don't like what you're, not getting to the promised land yet. And therefore, it's just like, I don't like this, I don't like the Lord, I don't like Moses. It just went on down the line. And they didn't like they said, we're against you, God. And so God said, hey, anybody over 20 doesn't get to experience the promised land. Now that was a devastating decision the Lord made, but it was a fair decision. You can imagine how that would affect your family, you know. Anybody under 20 don't experience God's peace, or a nation, or a group of Christians. You know, only the youngest get to taste the grace of God. It's like, well, we better make sure our anger doesn't cause us to sin against God. Anger can lead to sin, which leads to God's discipline and judgment. And sometimes I'll say this, because I've seen it in my own heart and also in the Christians that I've known, and I'll share this with you, whether people admit it or not. I've never met a Christian who has never been free from anger toward the Lord their whole lives. Even the closest, most surrendered, yielded, spirit-filled person will occasionally they give God the business, and often God will draw them closer during that time. And they'll be renewed in their faith. Just an honest openness to God. Here's when sometimes I get angry toward the Lord, and maybe you have. If my family goes through a trial and I feel helpless, they're sick or they're injured or whatever, then I start to say, God, come on, don't let my loved one feel this pain. I'm sure you've felt that. When somebody dies an untimely death, particularly a young person. You say, God, do you really know what you're doing? I start to give God beef, grief. And it just, it's not appropriate, but that's where I'm at. A huge natural disaster when things go wrong. When I wrongly think God is out to get me, I get angry at Him. If you occasionally think that God has something, He wants to talk to you about, guess what? You're going to be avoiding Him, and you're going to be getting mad at Him. Because that's what happens in your other relationships. You know Joe's mad at you, so what do you do with Joe? You don't talk to Joe. And when you see Joe, you get mad back. So if the Lord is saying, hey, I got something I want to talk to you about, you're going to be like, you ain't getting me. I'm avoiding the Lord. Also, we get angry at God sometimes when we want somebody else's blessing instead of being thankful for what the Lord means to us and the blessings He has given us. That's jealousy and envy is a form of anger toward God. And so to recognize that and say, Lord, keep these accounts short between me and you. Help me to grow in trust of you. And here's two scriptures that seem to help if you sense a residing anger in your life. And of course, last week you expressed the anger in a consecrated way before the Lord in your own heart and to the other person if necessary. Well, we do that with God too. Paul, standing trial in Acts 24, said this: always strive to keep your conscience clear before God and man. Boy, that's a great goal. How am I doing before God? Is my conscience clear? other words, can you say before God, it is well with my soul? That means, you're walking in great fellowship with God. Do it toward the relationships in your life. Can you think of all the relationships in your life that God has gifted you with? And can you say, well with my soul, with my children? Well with my soul, aunts and uncles? Well with my soul, neighbor? You know, brothers and sisters in Christ too? That's God's will for you. If there's a problem over there, you've got a problem with the Lord too. Because you're stepping out of bounds in His ways. So, always strive to keep your conscience clear before God and man, Paul said. The other scripture might help you is how the Lord responds to our own anger, which includes sin, remember. In 1 Peter 2:23 says, when Jesus was insulted, He did not retaliate. So if you slip up, or you see, you know, how many lost people just vulgarity city toward the Lord, you know, using His name in vain constantly, and it just grieves the Lord and grieves us. When Jesus was insulted, He did not retaliate. So you can be thankful for the mercy of God in your life. That when you insulted Christ by sin, He didn't come at you. You know, He had every right to. He would be fair to. But because of His grace, He spared us. So keep those things in mind. And some examples in the Bible how people were angry but drew close to the Lord. Just two. Job. Job was angry. He was talking to God for 40 chapters. He hung in there. He kept the conversation going. So to keep praying when you sense, you know, alienation to God, keep praying to Him. Reach out to Him. Lord, I don't understand. Lord, why? Lord, where are you? And what happens when Job expresses his anger to God? Guess what happens? God reveals Himself to Job. Isn't that great? He says, Job, let me tell you a little bit more about me. And Job says, oh yeah, this is good. This is amazing. This is full of wonder. And at the end of that time, you know what Job ends up doing? He ends up bowing down and worshiping God. You know, for a lot of times, anger. And then he said, oh, I'm meeting God. I bow down and I worship. And he's saying, Lord, you're right, and you only do righteous things. How we could trust God like that. So like Job, take that example. Submit your thoughts to God, your emotions, your losses. Very hard to do. But God, I think God wants to meet you in your anger, if you have anger to Him. Richard Baxter, a famous English preacher, said this, the Lord doesn't crush us when we doubt Him, even when we want to trust Him but somehow can't. God knows our frame. He remembers we're dust. He knows how much, you know, ability we could trust Him or not. Johnny Erickson taught, I mentioned her. In her book, she writes this about there was a time in her life where she was really giving God the business for her paralysis. She said, coming out of the hospital, I was helped by Psalm 46, be still and know that I'm God. But then I remembered some of the destructive rage and anger I had toward God. And this is a line only she could say, you know, and she trusted God through this feeling. She said, I would have punched God if I had been able to reach Him. Wow. But then I thought, I already took a swing at God when He was on the cross. Because it was my sin that put Him there. And if we are angry, we should be angry at our own failure to love. To love God, to love people. That's worth being angry about. And so she was able to meet God in the midst of her own anger, brokenness, and disappointment. And I think the Lord, you know, invites us to that. And then He searches our soul. Second example, Mary and Martha. When Lazarus dies in John chapter 11, you got to read the whole story, but from the beginning, the Bible says Jesus loves Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. You should know that for you and for the angry people around you. Jesus loves Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. Lazarus dies. Jesus hears he's sick, but he doesn't go right away. Jesus doesn't even go to the funeral. He's supposed to be the friend. You know, he doesn't come to see him when he's sick, doesn't come to see him at the funeral, shows up 4 days after the burial. How do you think Mary and Martha are feeling? They look at him and say, Lord, if you'd have been here, my brother wouldn't have died. And you could fill maybe some circumstances in the blanks of that scripture for you. Lord, if you'd have done this, this would not have happened to me or my loved one or something. Lord, if you would have, then. And Jesus doesn't push him away. Jesus cries and he says, I'm going to get your brother life with me. You know, and he raises Lazarus from the dead. And the great thing about the story of Mary, Martha, Lazarus, and Jesus is this. At the end of the story, with all that pain and all that anger and disappointment about the Lord's timing, you have Mary and Martha and Lazarus and Jesus. Very close. Pretty much living forever together. There they are. Jesus made it right. Many of us are waiting for Jesus to make it right. Whatever chip on the shoulder we have toward him. And Jesus, too, on the cross, when he says, oh, my God, why have you forsaken me? At the end, he prays a prayer that I think we could pray if we sense alienation toward God or, you know, others are going to connect us back to God if we have that anger. Jesus said this, Lord, into your hands I submit my spirit. That's a great prayer. It's a great prayer to pray when you're angry at God. Lord, into your hands I submit my spirit. It's a great prayer to pray if you need salvation. Never turn to Christ because you're miffed at him. Lord, into your hands I commit my spirit. It's a great prayer to pray to be sanctified or set apart. I want my emotions to be holy to God. Wouldn't that be a great prayer? You know, not only do I want my thinking, my cognitive skills to be under the Lord, but I want my gut feelings to be in a holy expression of Christ. If you ever meet a person with holy emotions, you know God has done a work. And so the good news about any problem we have with the Lord is this. In the future, not right now, but in the future, heaven will be sweeter because God is going to make everything right. Every chip on the shoulder you ever had toward yourself or your brother and sister or the Lord himself, God is going to make it right. He'll make it right in heaven. He'll make it right forever. And Jesus will be right there. Celebrating the good work that he has done through you. So go before the Lord like Job and Mary and Martha did, and however the Lord leads you today, keep that emotion wholly toward him. And remember, the sin thing shows anger. The anger thing can draw you to God in peace and forgiveness that he'll bring. So pray with me as we close today. Just pray, letting God make that emotion in your life holy. Wouldn't it be great if somebody says, this guy has holy anger. We like that. That doesn't destroy people. That gets them toward God. And so we could say, Lord, we want to be right with you. Hold no grudges against God. Hold no bitterness against you, Lord. Because you love us the most. Help us to know and feel your love, your help, your faithfulness. Because this is what we need in this long road to heaven. The gift of yourself and the gift of heaven. Bless each one here and do your good work. In Jesus' name, amen.